I wrote y'all about that, those two artillery rounds. I think I wrote you about it. Anyway, the other night was sitting in there watching TV about 10 o'clock, I guess, and it was raining. All of a sudden, we heard a big old boom outside the hooch, and a big flash of light. We ran out and ran into the bunker, and another one went off and hit on the ground. And we sat in there and did nothing else happen, so we came out. I walked up to the operations center up there at the three shop, and I asked them what was going on, whether it was mortars or what, and they said it was short artillery. It was firing proximity fuses. That's they reflect off of something. That's when they go off. And said they probably crisscrossed. In other words, they fired two rounds at different angles, and they crisscrossed and exploded when they reflected off each other. But they said both of them went off in the air. I told them I didn't think it did. I thought one of them went off on the ground. But it must not have, because it didn't hurt nobody. And it hit right in front of our hooch, or that's where the explosion was. And that would have been right in the village. But it didn't hurt nobody. A couple of nights ago, they got bunker down on the bridge. Got three of them trying to VC come right up. Three of them came right up to the bridge, right in the village. That's a different one from the one I was telling you about down at Miley. Though we got a little portable bridge that's made out of steel, and you pick it up with a crane, carry it somewhere else. We got it in the village there. It was 25th Division left it here, so we gave them ours and just left that one in place. Anyway, there's a bunker down there, and VC came up there and fired at them. I get that what they probably wanted to do was get them in a firefight, and then they was going to have some of them, some VC probably come down the river there while the people in the bunker were shooting at the VC down the road. Then they was going to have some VC come down the river and blow the bridge up. But what happened was they had some claymore set down there, and they doubled the length of the wires. Instead of 150 feet, they had 300 feet. And the claymores were set just nearly on top of the guys that was doing the shooting. So all they did was just start shooting claymores off, and they got three of them. They don't know how many there was up there, but they got three of them. That's about the most activity we've had around here in a long time. Of course, we expected it because it's election here, I think. They've been making us go in night and day out here trying to keep the place cleared out, keep anybody from moving in and setting up. We expected to get mortared last night, too, because anything big election like that, they want to try to stop it. And this is the district headquarters. Rockin is for this district, Rockin District. And all these little hamlets around here, they had to come up here and vote, just like precincts back home in a county. See, a province over here is actually like a state, and a district is like a county. And this is Rockin District in Long An Province. So all these little villages around here, Miley and Fookley and Long Key and all these little old hamlets around here, all of them had to come up here. Most of them came up last night, spent the night in the village. And then this morning voted. They had all the Vietnamese flags out. I took a picture of it yesterday. I went to the gate and took a picture of it. Had all that stuff out, played music all day long. It's just like a real big celebration for them, I guess, to vote. I know his old mama-san does my laundry. She don't understand much English, but her little old boy does. He's about 15 or 16. And I was out there talking to her, and I kept making signs like putting an X on the paper. I was saying, president, you know, put X for which president she wanted, you know. She finally understood me. Most of the people go for the military president, I think, around here. They didn't like the civilian type of government. I think most people around here probably voted for the military, because that's about the only way everybody's is affected by the military, because most of their kinfolks, husbands and sons and stuff are in the military over here, either police or the army. The police is not a civilian police like ours. There, when you get drafted, you can either go into the army or into the national police. But the police don't make as much money, and they don't make rank as fast as you do in the army. Of course, there's a lot less chance of getting killed in the police than there is in the army, because all you do is stay in a town. You don't get out in the rice paddies and in the boondocks. It's this little boy that always takes my laundry and sells my cokes and stuff. He's about 16. He's going to have to go. Well, I think he's 17 now. He's going to have to go in 4 more months. He's going, or 5 more months, he's going to have to either go to the army or the police. And he says he wants to go to the army because they make buku money. I've been talking to him, trying to get him. He speaks real good English. Been trying to get him to go to Saigon, join the army, and go take that English course and become an interpreter. That way he'll have a lot easier. He can live with the GIs and make more money than the Vietnamese army. And they're over here, it doesn't matter if you get drafted or if you join, it's 4 years. It's either way you look, any way you look at it, it's join or drafted, it's 4 years. So I think I just about got him talked into it. And I told him he'd be a lot better off interpreter, you know, get with Americans, because Americans give him all the, fully equip him with the M16 and clothes and feed him 3 meals a day, where the Arvins, they give him so much extra a month, and they have to just go out and buy their food off the civilian populace. And they don't have too many clothes either. They could probably give him a couple of sets of fatigues or something. They don't have near what we got. I've been trying to tell him that, and then if you're an interpreter, you got access to the PX and NCO and EM clubs, stuff like that. He can go to Bearcat and go in any place we can. But if an Arvin was to go up there, he couldn't go in any of them. Well, an Arvin really, I guess they'd let him in the club probably. They won't let them Arvins in the PX, so, because all they want to do is buy stuff and go sell it. They'll buy something and go to Saigon and sell it for about twice what they paid in the PX. And we're going to start training Arvins again after this election. I believe we're supposed to start on the 6th. We're going to take them out in the field now and stay out there with them. We're not going to just train in the daytime and then come in. We're going to take them out there and set down objectives on maps. Split up one platoon Arvin, one platoon U.S. Take the objectives, spend a night, get resupplied. Spend 2 or 3 nights at a time out there with them. So there's like a general come down here the other day and talked to us. He said the better we train these Arvins, that's that much sooner that we can get out of this place and go to a secured area. Of course, I don't imagine I'll see it, but some of these guys around here that's got 6 or 7, 8 months to go, it'll be nice for them to get back to a non-combat area. This is the last phase of what we was to do. Our mission when we came down here was to finally, after we clear the area of main force units and the local guerrillas, was to train the Arvins to take over and keep the area cleared. Of course, they could take over now, but I doubt if they could keep the area cleared, because they don't go on as many operations as we do. They don't go out and look under every nipple palm and every pot in the country like we do. I don't care if we just looked under the under the same one the day before. We go out the next day, we look under that again. Or if we search in Hooch one day, we go out the next day, we search it again, because we found stuff where you tear that damn place apart, come back the next day, or not find it, come back the next day and find all kinds of stuff. You just, that was a mortar just went off. They fire at night, they fire each and eye. That's harassing and interdictory targets. They, during the daytime, if you see a target out there, someplace you think the VC may be using at night, we just jot the coordinates down. When you get back here, you just tell them and they'll fire them at night. Fire the coordinates. They do a lot of that. I didn't tell you about this pistol we found. I think I wrote to you. This pistol we found the other day, I don't want to know them, brand new 45 caliber, U.S. Still had a blue on it. And a Chinese communist holster, patent leather, brown. Really made us sick to see that brand new 45 with the blue still on it. We can't figure out where in the heck they get them. Shit, we don't even have no new 45s. And then that gook we killed the other day, when we first went out, first platoon went out, got hit pretty bad coming in. I think it was about a squad of them out there. And they sent the second platoon, the CP group out. And we pushed against the first platoon, got one. He had an M1. 90% of their weapons are American. That's what makes it so bad over here, fighting people that's using your own stuff. Looks like I can't tell where the tape's about to run out or what it's going to do. Oh yeah, I need some stamps sometime. Wrote it on the back of a letter today, but you might not see it. I sent you some negatives, some black and whites I took out in the field. And I wrote on the back of it, I need some. I ain't got but about 4 or 5 left, I think. Something like that. Those pictures I took were, we got a couple of sniper rounds from a woodland. We called in the gunships and let him eat the place up. And some of them you can see a little old trail of smoke. Shooting rockets.